We will then move to Hans Hoegeveld's report.
Thank you, Michel, and let me give a brief overview of the activities of the IASB. I would first like to make a couple of comments about the insurance project. In February of this year, seems a long time ago, but it's still rather recent, the board reviewed the due process steps taken to come to conclusions on insurance, and we have granted the staff permission to begin the balloting process. So, in fact, the staff has now started writing the standard. We have nearly completed the first draft, which will be tested by board members, which will also, once the board members are satisfied that we have a good draft, we will also check it with representatives from the industry to see whether the words would also work in practice. Obviously, this is a very complicated standard, and we have to make sure that we find the right words for the industry to work with. We have, in the last board meeting, completed our decision-making on the question of deferral for application of IFRS 9 by insurance companies, given the fact that IFRS 9 and IFRS, the new insurance standards, will not start at the same date, and that has given rise to some complications for the industry. They have asked for a deferral, and we have offered them, we have concluded that we would offer two options. The first will be deferral for implementation of IFRS 9, and/or what insurance companies could also use is an overlay approach in which they could adjust their earnings numbers for the application of IFRS 9, using the numbers provided by IAS 39. We have been developing this over the months. We have, in last board decisions, we have adjusted the criteria for deferral, made them a bit more open, so that all insurers that can be considered pure insurers or with really the large part of their major part of their activities are in insurance can use this deferral. And for those that cannot apply the deferral because they have a mixed business, for example, a mixed banking insurance business, then they can still use the overlay approach. Most constituents support this. The insurance industry has let some parts of the insurance industry have let us know that they are happy with our decision-making. Not everybody is happy. There are some conglomerates because in which the banking activities are so big that they cannot apply the deferral. But again, they have the overlay approach at their disposition. And most constituents understood that applying two different standards in one entity, that is untidy and confusing to investors. So, the final amendments to IFRS 4, in which these transition measures will be formulated, will be published in September. We have also started our re-deliberations. That's a word that you cannot find in the dictionary, but we have re-deliberations of the conceptual framework. That will still occupy us in the next couple of months. In the most recent board meeting, we revisited sensitive issues like prudence and stewardship, and we have refined our conclusions a little bit, but basically stuck to our proposals, but made them a bit clearer. This will keep us busy for the remainder of the year, and we expect to publish the definite conceptual framework in the course of 2017. Then I would like to pay some attention to our efforts to help our constituents in implementation and consistent application of the standards, which we devote considerably more resources to currently than we did in the past, because we feel that our constituents need that and it is widely appreciated. As you know, IFRS 16, the new leases standard, will be effective as of January 2019. We have made it clear to the outside world that we, other than with revenue recognition and financial instruments, we will not start a transition resource group, because we feel that the standard is not overly complicated and that people should be able to deal with it without a transition resource group. That decision also seems to be recognized by our constituents, but we are still undertaking a number of activities to support implementation of the standard, including developing a series of educational webcasts and organizing conferences. We organized a conference last week in London, which was well attended, and in which I also delivered a presentation. And IFRS stakeholders can also inform us about implementation questions through our website. As you know, we published some clarifying amendments to IFRS 15 revenue, the new revenues standard, which resulted from the transition resource group. We've also told you before that we have decided not to schedule further discussions with the transition resource group, but we observed the FESB TRG meeting in April 2016. And we were happy to see that no issues arose from that meeting that required reconsideration by our board. And it seems that the questions directed in this, to the TRG are decreasing in numbers. We have also created an implementation page for revenue recognition on the ISB website. And this is a practical tool, and it also serves as a signal that the decision not to schedule any further TRG meetings, that does not mean that the board is stepping back from supporting these consistent and faithful implementation of IFRS 15. We will continue to monitor the implementation of IFRS 15, and if significant and pervasive issues arise, the board could consider whether a public discussion would be helpful to assist practice. But all the indications are that most questions have been answered. Then I would like to say a few words about the agenda consultation. The board met just before our trustee meeting and set the basic decisions for the new agenda. Some very clear themes emerged from our agenda consultation from our constituents. Our constituents want us to continue devoting resources to proper implementation and maintenance of standards, and I also feel that although some constituents felt IFRIC was doing too much, others said they were doing too little. Generally, our sense is that we are in the right place with the level of activity of IFRIC. Also, people feel that the biggest gaps in standards have been addressed with the completion of revenue recognition, leases and financial instruments, and forthcoming the insurance standard. And we also noted that there is a considerable fatigue of continual change of standards, something that we also witnessed here in Indonesia. At the same time, there are some doubts about the communication effectiveness of IFRS and whether IFRS is capable of enables preparers to properly tell the story of performance, and if it enables investors to sufficiently to judge performance by companies. That has a little to do with the fact that IFRS is very form-free with regards to the composition of the income statement. We, of course, we say we define what revenue is and we define what profit or loss is, but in between we don't define all that much, and investors usually want to look at subtotals of the income statement to see whether parts of income are persistent or not, so that they can make their cash flow projections or earnings projections for the future periods. there was a lot of support for all the work streams that we already have in place to promote the communication effectiveness of IFRS. We have the disclosure initiative, of which we have already done a lot of work, and which has already led to concrete changes in our standards. But there is still more work to be done. Shortly, or in the near future, we will be publishing our principles of disclosures, and there's a lot of support for that. There's also a high demand for us to restart work streams that improve performance reporting. We devoted considerable resources to that in the past, but due to the fact that we had to set clear priorities, that was put on hold in 2011. And we're going to take up strands of that work, not all of it. Some of it was very contentious. So we will pick up that work, but in a different way from where we were in 2010. There's also a lot of support for our financial instruments with characteristics of equity project, which we have already started and which should give a better insight to investors in different classes of equity and on the distinction between liability and equity. Now, so all of this work will contribute to improving the communication effectiveness of IFRS, so it will be very important work. But what the advantage of this work is that we should be able to do that without imposing huge system changes to preparers, which is something that they complain about now with the big standard changes that we have done. It is more a question of reformatting information that they already have to deliver rather than creating completely new sets of information. So we hope we can deal with the change fatigue without having to stop our work. We hope to change the direction of our work in such a way that we, as I said, we improve what we have rather than starting completely new data gathering standards. It's also important to do this work to fight back on the huge proliferation of non-GAAP measures. So the use of adjusted earnings by companies, which for some miraculous reason always tend to be about 30% more positive than their official IFRS earnings. Some of that is done because companies have a desire to make their performance look a little bit better than it really may be, but it is also due to the fact that we give so little guidance in terms of the income statement. I think it would be very helpful if we, for example, were able to succeed in giving a principle-based definition of operating income. I don't think we can give a very precise definition because it's different across industries, but if we could give a principle-based definition of operating income that, for example, says you always have to include costs of restructuring or costs of impairments because those are daily facts of life, and give a little bit more discipline. So this is improving the communication effectiveness is likely to be the new theme of our work going forward. We will discuss this with the Advisory Council in June, and we will bring back the final results of this exercise to the trustees in the next meeting. This is my report. Thank you.